This is Rebecca Jernigan, your tour guide into discoveries, coming to you live simulcast from the heart of America to around the globe via the World Wide Web, terrestrial radio, satellite, and podcast. Let's journey together into the realms of the unknown to the known in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. All right, I am here in the heart of America, Kansas City, broadcasting live and heard on the Journeys with Rebecca Radio Network. A huge welcome to Black Vault Radio Network. Please go to their website. That's blackvaultradio.com. Thanks, John. Glad to have you guys aboard. And, of course, to all of my other great affiliates, please check them out. Go to my website. That's journeyswithrebecca.com. Tonight's scheduled guest is Dr. Judy Wood, and our conversation tonight is about 9/11. A little bit of background first about Dr. Judy Wood. She has received her B.S. Civil Engineering and Structural Engineering. She's received her M.S. Engineering Mechanics, that's Applied Physics, and also her Ph.D. in Materials Engineering Science. Now, from 1999 to 2006, Dr. Wood has been an assistant professor in the Mechanical Engineering Department at Clemson University in Clemson, South Carolina. Now, before moving to Clemson, she spent 3 years as a postdoctoral research associate in the Department of Engineering Science and Mechanics at Virginia Tech. Now, Dr. Wood is currently writing a book with Morgan Reynolds, and it's based on the physical evidence for understanding and explaining the events of 9/11. Now, Dr. Wood started to question the events of 9/11 on that same day when what she saw and then what she heard on television was contradictory and appeared to violate the laws of physics. Now, since that day, she has used her knowledge of engineering mechanics to prove that the collapse of the World Trade Center Twin Towers could not have happened as the American public was told. In her words, "We stand today at the dawn of an entirely new age. Man has in his hands a method of disrupting the molecular basis for matter and the ability to split the earth in half in a moment's notice. It gives the term scorched earth policy a new significance. The technology that was demonstrated on 9/11 can split the earth in half, or it can be used to allow all people to live happily ever after with free energy. However, he who controls the energy controls the people. Control of energy leads to destruction of the planet. But we have a choice, and this choice is real. Live happily ever after or destroy the planet. This is why I've been studying the evidence of what happened on 9/11. This evidence is central to it all. 9/11 was a demonstration of new technology, free energy. It can be used for good, but we need to make that choice and help others to as well. We do have a choice." Those are the words of Dr. Judy Wood. Very profound and very significant. Tonight's going to be a dynamite show. So before we go on, another quick mention for my friends, Carrie Cassidy, Bill Ryan of ProjectCamelot.org and ProjectAvalon.net. Now for tonight's show, for questions, please join us in the chat room. You can get to that right from the front page of my website. That's JourneysWithRebecca.com. You'll see a link on the right side. It'll take you in there. Write your question in the chat room, and the monitors will forward it to me. Or you can IM me at Yahoo, and that ID is Journeys with Rebecca. That's all one word. Or for tonight's show, you can use the email address at mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. We're going to have 2 hours of Dr. Judy with us tonight. It is absolutely fabulous. So don't go away. Let's journey together. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, everyone. I apologize, too, for the opening. I wasn't sitting quite in front of my microphone, so for those of you who had trouble hearing, it was on my end, and I do apologize for the little glitch there. Tonight's very special guest is Dr. Judy Wood. For those of you who are listening, you probably heard a little bit about her credentials, but I urge each and every one of you, as you're listening, and you're listening to Dr. Judy talk, is to go to her website, and it's www.drjudywood.com/WTC, World Trade Center, or drjudywood.com/FAQ, Frequently Asked Questions. Those are two links also that you guys who are listening out there can just reach right from the front page of my website, journeyswithrebecca.com. So you can follow through, you can look at some of the videos and the pictures, and also her research. It's just a huge site with a wealth of information. Dr. Judy, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you for having me.
This is absolutely fabulous. I again want to just tell you how awesome I think you are, and all the work that you've done. You can see by the wealth of information, by the clarity of the information on your site, certainly by the depth and the profoundness of your work, this has become quite a passion for you. It is something that's been intensively looked at and researched on your behalf, and I'm sure other people as well that have been assisting you in this process. So we thank you for coming on and being as brave as you are to come forward onto all these radio shows that you've been doing and sharing this knowledge, because for some people, I'm sure you're not real popular.
Right.
And that's okay.
Depends on what your objective is.
Yeah, well, like I said, I come into this world, Dr. Judy, this is not a popularity contest. This is what about doing the right thing, correct? You know?
Yep.
So anyway, as we go along, what I'd like for you to do is, I made a statement that I got right off of your website about, as you were watching the events unfold and then listening to the comments that were being made by all the newscasters, it just didn't set well. It was contradictory for you. So in that moment is when you really, it, something must have triggered and you started with that. So I'm going to let you take it from the day of 9/11 and bring us in. Just, we'll go that
way.
Okay,
and I'll remind people, you're right. The site is very large and there's a lot of material, so that's why I've started recently making this kind of summary page. That's drjudywood.com/WTC. That will take you there. And I can show you various pictures. But how this began, on 9/11, I was called into the faculty conference room because they had the TV on, and look what's happening. And when those towers unraveled, they didn't collapse in my mind. They unraveled like a sweater unraveled. It didn't look right. And I think I remember looking away and trying to imagine, now, what would I expect it to look like? Nope, didn't look like that. Wouldn't you expect something kind of like a pile adjusting? Something scoots here, which makes something scoot over there. Or not the whole thing uniformly, smoothly moving. Plus, the building was turning into dust from the top down. It really looked like a sweater unraveling.
That's an interesting analogy, yeah.
But looking around the room, I was like, this is a joke, right? And people looked at me like I was a lunatic, like this is a serious matter. But it doesn't make sense. And I think I remember doing some calculations, and I went up to my office, and they said something about the Pentagon being hit. I thought, okay, is this a joke, like another War of the Worlds deal, except on TV rather than just on radio? My parents live near the Pentagon, so I thought, okay, that's a good way to collect some more data. If this is for real, we should have jets flying overhead. So I called up my mom. She looked out. Nope, no jets flying overhead. She wasn't aware anything was going on because she hadn't been watching TV. So, that reinforced my idea that there's something funny going on.
Well, yeah, but, now that you think about it, you're right. And I remember watching the footage, and there wasn't any. There would have been. They just would have converged.
Yeah, you would have seen a whole lot of activity.
Yeah, you're right.
And so it was kind of strange. Well, you assume the grown-ups are going to take care of it.
Right.
Because this is where I was told, it's all taken care of, Big Brother will look after you.
Right.
And I was a new faculty member, relatively new, and, okay, I've got work to do, and I want to keep my job, I keep my head down, do what I'm supposed to do. I had made some calculations that later became my billiard ball example. And that was my way of checking my sanity. Like, okay, if it were to collapse, one floor by floor by floor, I made this kind of, model of a timing device, just to see, and well, wait a minute, it's going to take like, at least 100 seconds. And it just towers just wouldn't go away faster than it takes to drop a ball off the roof and have it hit the pavement below. So that didn't make sense. But, okay, I'm, you know, in the minority and I want to keep my job. And I'm thinking this is how probably a lot of people are. There's an awful lot of peer pressure to just to go with the flow. And I did a similar thing the year earlier when we had the 2000 presidential selection.
Yes.
It went belly up. Yes. And they said, okay, we can't fix it this year, but we'll fix it by the next time.
That's right.
Okay. The next time came, 2004. The same thing happened, but worse. At that moment, it was like 1:35 in the morning.
Right.
At that point, I realized nobody else was going to take care of it. I need to do something. So I looked into the election statistics stuff, and then I also gave myself permission to start thinking about what happened on 9/11.
Well, I have to tell you, first of all, number one, is I've been saying this to a lot of people recently, it just takes one person to stand up. It does. It takes one person to stand up. There's many people out there, Dr. Judy, that I really sincerely believe that wanted to do the same thing as you. They wanted to stand up, but again, for whatever false reasons that we can all give ourselves or justification we can give ourselves, we hold ourselves back from doing what we know is the right thing because we're fearful. We're in a state of fear. I'll lose my job. I'll lose this. This will happen or that will happen. And so we're in a constant state of fear, and that's something that has been inbred in us since, you know, since I can remember. We're always in fear of getting into trouble or not doing the right thing. I mean, that's, as a society, that's kind of how they teach us, right?
Yeah, it's a control mechanism.
Right, exactly. It is, and it works very well for 99.9% of the population. So the one thing that I wanted to talk about with these, when I was watching this, the one thing that I do remember watching is that, and see, I don't have any kind of engineering degree. I failed miserably.
That's good.
Miserably at geometry. I can't draw a stick man that looks correct. So, but I looked at the tower. I remember that one. And I remember the thought crossed my mind. And see, it just crossed my mind. And I didn't follow through with the thought. And I thought, oh gosh, that looks just like when they, demolish buildings. You know, when they want to take down a building, it looks just like they do when they purposely do that. You know, they want to implode a building. And it looked just like that. I had just seen something on TV. I don't remember what show it was, but it was some kind of a show where they kind of show you, you know, this is how demolition teams come in and this is how they, you know, raise buildings and so that they can build new buildings. And I remember watching the one and I was like, my goodness, that looks just like that's how I just seen that. It was so very strange. And I remember thinking about that for the longest time, and then I just never went beyond that thought because I didn't know what else to do with the thought.
Yeah, I think also that thought was kind of placed in us, too. But I never thought that with the towers because immediately the idea of a sweater unraveling was just stuck in there. And that's another interesting thing. In extreme events, first impressions stick real deeply.
Well, and we are, the United States, Americans have not seen anything like that. That was the other thing that I was just talking to, actually, my technical engineer before the show, and I was like, we were all in a state of shock. So the shock value alone didn't cause us to think logically.
Right. And this was a psyops.
Yep. Yep.
And my proof of that? You know, why did it take X number of years for somebody to say, where did the buildings go?
Yeah, where's all the rubble? Where's the massive quantities of rubble? And now, interestingly enough, we already have a question, and I really want to go ahead and ask this guy. Guy's name is Jimmy Mack, and he's from Florida. He said, please ask Dr. Wood a question for me. I have scoured her extensive website and have one question for her. If a fuel-loaded 747 plane had hit the top of the World Trade Center like we were led to believe, wouldn't the force of such an impact caused the plane to go through the top part of the tower? Also, has any significant plane fragments of the supposed plane crash ever been covered? If so, have there ever been examined, and by whom? So you have, like, a loaded question there.
I'll lump it kind of into the plane issue. And I usually don't like to get into the plane issue because people, it's so emotional, but also people just go round and round circles because there's a lot hinging on that as to, you know, whatever else happens, rather than realizing that the planes aren't what caused the building to go away. But dealing with the plane issue, I early on drew this picture of, you know, Wile E. Coyote, a silhouette of passage in the tower.
I've seen that.
You know, in the Roadrunner cartoons, how do we know what that thing was? It was zoom, you know, zings by. You look and you see, oh, it's a Roadrunner-shaped cutout. Must have been the Roadrunner who went through here. Americans fell for the Roadrunner trick.
Yeah.
On the World Trade Center.
Yep.
An airplane-shaped cutout. Airplanes don't make airplane-shaped cutouts. You know, I what really hit me that day was the wingtip. You have this 5-inch deep wing out of aluminum, aircraft aluminum, and then you have a 5-inch tall slot through steel columns. Now, buildings are way overbuilt. Airplanes aren't. Why does your luggage get weighed?
Right.
You know, before you get on the airplane, you know, every pound counts because it's designed to be floating. It's not designed to go through buildings. So, you know, airplane versus building, guess who wins?
Right.
But we have this, you know, the airplane penetrates this building, punches this hole in it, and then you look in the hole and there's no airplane.
Right.
And how'd that happen? So it's not possible. And actually, I showed that picture to one of my colleagues, who knows that I have this thing for Roadrunner. I like to use him in my classroom because it's, you know,
it's one of my favorites,
fun.
Too.
And, you know, so I'm showing this cutout inside the building, and he turns around, his jaw dropped, and he said, wait a minute, is this picture real? And I show him several more, and he goes, oh, my gosh, something's wrong with the story we were given.
Thank you.
All it took to realize, you know, it was a hoax.
Yeah. So, that being said, we've gone through all these pictures. And, again, I'm going to tell everyone, please go to your website, drjudywood.com/WTC. There's videos, there's pictures, there's everything in there. And, of course, there's a wealth of information still on the 9/11 of videos all over YouTube. I'm sure there's some on Google Video. And you have got, like, a ton of information there on your website as well. Lots of, as a matter of fact, some of the pictures I hadn't seen yet were some that I noticed on your website. So, you know, it's just kind of like you just start putting all these puzzle pieces together. So as you were going along and you realized that, first of all, is that everything just didn't feel right, it didn't look right, and it wasn't right, then what did you do after that? I mean, we were all in a state of shock, and you obviously were probably more level-headed than most would have been, you know, by going back and thinking about this and then really starting to research it.
But I stuffed it for, you know, some time because it's socially unacceptable. I want to keep my job. But also, I realized what happened of this and how it was being used and so forth. And I remember folks saying, well, if you speak out, you'll destroy your career. And I also said, well, if I don't speak out, I won't have a career anyway because we won't have a world.
Wow. Now, see, there you go, so, folks.
So I was without fear.
Awesome.
Because, you know, and I think you can see since, you know, the past few years, a lot's been happening.
Yes. Yes, yes, it has. And you know what? As chaotic as it is, as chaotic and awful as it is, it's also the truth that's coming out. All the terrible, terrible truths that have been withheld from all the peoples around all of the world. And I think the biggest thing, though, for people really that they just couldn't want or they didn't want to wrap their mind around is to think that this, first of all, has happened in the United States, and second of all, is that this would be allowed to happen in the United States. And I think that was the biggest shock value that there was in all of this, which, again, you know, it just really just looped everyone's brain. They just really couldn't grasp the enormity of it, the absolute horribleness of it. They just couldn't wrap their brain around it and the loss of life and everything else that went with it. And I think it really impacted the world. Of course, we know what happened after the fact as well, and we'll get back into that in a little bit. But I think right now what we'll do, Dr. Judy, is we'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll kind of pick up from there, and we'll go on.
Okay.
So for the rest of you, do not go away. We're going to be right back with more of Journeys with Rebecca with Dr. Judy Wood. Judy Wood, and we are talking about 9/11. Dr. Judy, I have to tell you is that my email, even after that first segment, it's just blowing up. I've got all kinds of people sending me all this great information and certainly questions. And speaking of that, I did want to make sure that we answered that gentleman's question that he gave us in the first segment. I'm not sure if we got to all of his questions. I know he talked about the plane. And
would it go out the other side, or with the jet, or something about the jet fuel, was there?
Yeah, something about the jet fuel in there because it was fully loaded. And let me see if I can find that again. I'm not sure if I can find it. It's long gone from my system here.
But jet fuel, you know, doesn't melt airplanes when they're flying, or their engines.
True.
Because otherwise, you know, drip, metal dripping out of the airplane as it's flying overhead.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay, so here's another thing. There's a couple other questions that came in. And for the gentleman that in Florida that wrote us, if we didn't answer your questions, if you'll go ahead and send back the rest of the questions we didn't answer, we certainly will follow up. There's just so much information here with Dr. Judy. I'm probably getting a little carried away, so I apologize. We have another question that came out of the IM, which is what happened with the Pennsylvania crash at the same time, and also, do you think the buildings were imploded with explosives? So,
I wasn't in Pennsylvania. I didn't see what happened, but from everything I've gathered, there wasn't any airplane parts in the ground. There's plenty of rumors, and what I've tried to do in my research is stay away from, you know, second-hand hearsay. It may be right, it may not be, but heck, 9/11 was a psyops.
Okay.
And people may be repeating stuff that they think is true, but hey, we all were psyoped. So I like to look at just the evidence and what do we see in the evidence.
Okay.
And that brings us to this webpage. And talking about where the buildings imploded, it was a new technology. And I've carefully gone through all the evidence I've gone through and just looking to see what happened. And actually, that's a lot easier than trying to, you know, deal with what happened to the humans, because the emotions get really stirred up with that.
Sure.
And if we just look at the physics of it, it's really an easier task.
Okay.
If you think of the small picture instead of the big picture. But you start looking, and everywhere you look, it all adds up to the same thing. So if we go to this page, and at the top, there's an index. And at each section, there's a little tiny index link that'll pop you back up to the top.
Right.
If you get lost and go to whatever section. If we go down to section B, that's right near the top. It's I call it dustification. Now, what I've done is establish a new vocabulary to keep myself from falling into, you know, bias perception. If you start, just wipe the slate clean and see things anew. And just what do you see? And then give it an arbitrary name, you know, sort of a simple name, whatever you can remember for that particular phenomenon.
Okay.
And you start listing different phenomena. So this phenomenon is dustification. And you can see the building just is turning to dust as it comes down.
It is, yep.
Now, the pieces go flying. And, like, when a bomb goes off, in controlled demolition, I call it bombs in the building, chunks go flying. But the chunks stay as chunks as they're flying. These, the chunks, you know, dissolve.
They're disintegrating as they go down. I can see what you're saying as I'm watching this, yes.
And it's a totally different phenomenon.
You're right, it is. I see what you're saying, which is henceforth why we don't have any rubble.
Right, it's kind of gone. And the pictures below that, I call that lathering up. There's just some weird cloud patterns. And there's some other evidence. Let's see. It's seismic data. How about if, let's see, look at M. Click on M for rate of dustification.
Hang on just a second. I'm almost there. There we are. There it is.
And right below those, if you click on any page, any picture on the page, it'll jump out into a bigger page, picture. But if you look at figures 96, 97, 98, 96 is before. We have these buildings from the whole WTC complex there.
Right.
And then 97 is the topography of the ground right afterwards.
I see.
And one of the things you notice is the main body of that building in the front left-hand corner is gone. Just the north is to the right, and it's just the north wing. The body of it is just polished, gone. Down to the ground.
Gotcha. You're right.
You know, where's the material? We had two buildings over a quarter mile tall, 500,000 tons each.
Just evaporated.
And if they turn to dust from hitting each other, you see that figure 98. Why didn't they pile up into the basement? Why didn't they, you know, bang on each other and damage the basement?
Right.
And if you had bombs, go ahead.
Well, and I noticed on somewhere on your site, too, where it showed, like, earthquakes that have taken down big buildings, and the pile of rubble is almost as tall as the building was when it was standing. It was just in rubble.
Well, when the dust clouds go up, you know, they never go really much higher than the roof.
Right.
And right below that, this section, in section N, the bathtub section.
Right.
The bathtub was a protective wall that held the Hudson River out. The basement was built on bedrock, which was about 70 feet below the water table.
Okay.
So it's really important that this not be damaged. And there's a path train tunnels that go under the Hudson and come up into the base of the bathtub. And then there's a station where you can transfer over onto subways. So if you flood this thing, you flood all of Manhattan.
Right.
And it wasn't. And in the picture on the right, figure 122, here they are lifting one of the path trains out.
It's perfectly
intact. And you still have all the parking garage levels.
Yeah, still intact.
And it's kind of interesting the impact these things made relative to each other. Below there I have the diagrams of the kingdom, building 7, and one of the towers. And the diagrams right below that are the equivalent earthquake magnitude they made.
Okay.
In other words, if you chop off all but just that bottom little bit of the building.
Right.
That's, the equivalent, okay, the bottom 20 floors of one of the towers.
Right.
That's as much of an impact if you drop that stuff to the ground. So asking about controlled demolition, if you blow up this building, the stuff has to go somewhere.
Right.
It's going to land on the ground. There was no gravity collapse. The mass of that building did not slam to the ground.
Just disintegrated. Okay, now we're going to get back. I'm going to shift this just a minute.
Okay.
This gentleman that I asked to write us back, because we didn't answer the rest of his
question,
he wrote us back.
Great.
And he said, was there any significant plane fragments of the supposed plane crash ever recovered, and if so, have they been examined and by whom?
No, there hasn't been any that have been documented as being from the planes. There was a plane part, but it belonged to a totally different kind of plane. Either a 727 or a 737.
Right.
But these planes have time change, you know, parts with codes on them, so they can track the parts and when they need to be changed. And so when if like two planes crashed midair, you could sort out which piece went with which plane.
Right.
And there's none of those parts were ever found or identified.
And my understanding is that they didn't find them at any of the sites.
Correct.
That's my understanding. The most interesting one, I think, is the one, though, out in Pennsylvania, because that's the one that there's the least amount of documentation to, one that they found out in you know, the plane, supposedly, that went down in Pennsylvania. That was the one that they found least amount of videos and all of that on. It was really interesting. That one was the most interesting one. And, of course, the Pentagon is a whole other thing. Because you said your parents lived close to there, was there any way for you to also like to do any research from the Pentagon aspect of it, or was this just the World Trade Center stuff?
I was only really looking at the World Trade Center. With this mystery, it's interesting how different people are attracted to different portions of the problem. And I, you know, from day one, it was the towers. And how they unraveled, that was always fascinated me. There have been others who have been interested in the Pentagon. And the Pentagon, you know, there's a lot of strange things with that, like there's the hole in the side isn't big enough. And then like half hour after the hole appeared, the whole middle caved down to nothing left. Imagine that. Have you seen that anywhere before?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, the whole thing was, and then them... And the correlation between that and the World Trade Center, one of your photos that you had in there was that they brought in dirt and they in front of the Pentagon, and it's like they made it all nice and clean and it just looked real spotless. And then you have some in there too on your demolition sites that just look spotlessly clean for a demolition site or for cleanup or whatever.
Yeah, rather clean enough to eat off of.
Yeah, I seen that and I was like, yeah, that and so I correlated that with the pictures that I'd seen after the fact of around the Pentagon thing. One of my questions that I have for you that I thought was fascinating was the one with the windows. The windows all have the ones that have been broken out have like a circular pattern to them. They're circular. The windows are circular, and this is going to be let's see, what is this under? Bankers Trust windows, the Barclay Street windows, Liberty Plaza, all the windows.
It's windows such an I. If we go to the top and you click on I, you're shaking there. At least it is I for right now.
Right.
It's actually moving around based on what works best. But, you look at those windows and something doesn't look right. You have round holes.
What causes round holes?
Longitudinal waves.
What's that for the lake?
A little like electromagnetic kind of thing.
Okay. So electromagnetic waves.
It's something that jet fuel doesn't cause, flying debris doesn't cause, and bombs in the building don't cause.
Well, I can honestly say I've never seen a pattern like this. It was the one that I thought was really the one that really set it off for me was the first one that was FWC1 windows. It's the first one on the left under I, windows in marble.
The first one on the left or the one in the middle that...
that one too.
Yeah, looking from the middle out, it's perfectly round holes almost. And everyone who's, you know, thrown a baseball through a window knows they make kind of a spider web pattern.
Right.
It doesn't just make a round hole.
Right.
And other interesting things, like figure 61... You can see that it's double pane windows,
right.
But only the outer pane's missing in some of them.
I know.
Not both.
Yeah, I see that in there. So again, that would be the electromagnetics.
Yeah, something weird in energy waves. This is called generically energy waves.
Okay. You know,
and some of my interesting ones recently, like figure 67 and 68. We call it Swiss cheese windows.
Yes. Yeah.
It looks like the windows just kind of dissolved.
Yeah, actually they do, don't they? Looking at it, see, everyone's got a just different verbiage makes you, you know, change your perspective on looking at it. It's very odd looking. I mean, seriously, that's just very odd looking the more you look at it. 65, 66, they all have that round patterning to them. Very odd.
Yeah, just like somebody had a hot soldering iron and just started poking it through the window.
Yeah, I know. It's just, that's strange. I think this might be a good place for us to leave us, and then when we come back, we're going to pick this train of thought up, and then we're going to continue on with this energy of the whatever was happening there with Dr. Judy Woods. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Right, welcome back. And for those of you who are listening or just tuned in, please join us in the chat room. You can get to that from the front of my website. That's journeyswithrebecca.com. And on the right-hand side is a link. This is listener chat. Please go there. And we've got monitors in there. We've been asking a lot of questions of our guest tonight, Dr. Judy Wood. And we had another one, Dr. Judy, that came in during the commercial break. You don't have the answers to these, then you don't have the answers to these. But someone is asking why they are tearing down the Bankers Trust building at 130 Liberty Street. Would you know why they're doing that?
I believe so.
Okay, good.
Pretty good idea. They had this big gash that was in the front of it right after, on the day of 9/11, and they end up replacing the floors that were missing, replacing that and making it anew, but it continued to deteriorate, continued to come undone.
Wow. What would cause that?
We're about to find out.
All right.
And they're still having problems taking it down. The problem is still ongoing.
Oh, my goodness.
So, let's see. A good picture to go to is the K section.
Okay. Now, let me refresh everyone's memories. If you will, is go to drjudywood.com/WTC. And you can follow along by just at the very top of the page, close to the top of the page. She has shortcuts and index, and if you just go to the letter, it will take you right there. And what are we discussing? Which one again?
It's fuzzballs.
Number K, fuzzballs. Got it.
Again, I use these arbitrary terms.
I love them.
That's what it looks like, fuzzballs around people's feet. But this first picture was one of my aha moments. It really told me a lot. We're about a full block north of the North Tower and upwind, slightly upwind. It's not very strong wind that day, about 5 miles per hour. And it's just after the North Tower went poof. I don't say collapse. It went poof. It went away. And there was this huge dust cloud we saw roll out. And about 15 minutes later or so, it's all settled out. And we can see nice blue sky in the background. So that dust settled out right quick. But then if you start noticing carefully around the feet of some of the policemen there.
Yes.
You see fuzzballs.
Yeah.
Those fuzzy things around their feet.
Yeah, it looks unclear. It looks like an unclear picture. Yes.
As though they're stirring up dust. But wait a minute. That fine of dust could not have settled out of the air that quickly.
No.
Only coarse dust could have settled out of the air and then became fine dust.
Okay, that's right.
And then looking at the next row of pictures, you can see these people just came out of their hiding place. They, just got their regular work clothes on, and so it's just right after they getting out of their hiding places, so it's shortly after the event. And you see these fuzzballs rising.
Yeah, you do.
And that very last picture, you can see they're rising all by themselves, that haze, without anybody kicking it up.
Yeah.
Ah, so what do we do about this? People are going to notice. You bring out the street cleaners and scrub the streets.
Yeah, I didn't realize they had done that either until I was watching your site, too.
They did it that afternoon, beginning that afternoon.
Yeah, that's kind of strange, isn't it? Oh, let's clean the streets. We just, you know, had half our city gone, and we're going to clean the streets.
Yeah, who cares about, you know, trying to, you know, rescue anybody? You get these big street cleaners, you know, blocking the streets.
So a question related to that, Dr. Judy, is they said the dust, of course, made people sick. Could this also be an indication about the material in the dust? And it said firemen and people got sick a year later, even still getting sick after the dust.
The problem is still ongoing.
Okay.
Here we have this material that's breaking down, finer and finer and finer. What happens when you inhale that?
It gets in you, in your pores, it gets in your lungs, it gets into everything.
I wonder what it does in your bloodstream. It can't be good. So that keeps breaking down, and that leads to another problem. Okay, and then they bring out the street cleaners, scrub the streets. But right directly across the street from the World Trade Center, we had the World Financial Center, and they had nice green lawns out front. So what happens when the lawn starts fuming? You can't say, okay, those are the fires that burn for 99 days. Yeah, they're burning right underneath the grass there. That story isn't going to fly.
No.
So what did you do with that? Well, if you go up to the top and you can find the dirt section, that's section E, and that's figure 27. You notice that very first picture, that's the front of, I think it's WFC2, World Financial Center 2. It's right directly across the street from where Tower 1 was and Tower 3.
Right.
And, another thing people don't realize is, like, you know, 8 buildings went away that day. 7 went away, but Bankers Trust, we'll include that one as number 8.
Okay.
A lot of them. And so if you look, see that bucket on the ground?
Yep.
If you click on the picture and enlarge it, you'll see this, like, fresh potting soil. Brand new dirt.
My computer's having a little slow time here loading the image. There it is. I see it. Yeah, it is. It's fresh dirt. Fresh dirt.
Isn't that peculiar?
That's very peculiar. I mean, that is fresh dirt.
And it's lush-looking dirt.
Yes. Okay.
And that, when I saw that picture, I went, oh, boy. I'm starting to, but you know when you have oil spill in your garage, you put down kitty litter to soak it up?
Right.
It's good for cleaning up toxic spills. And if you look at figure 28, that was only taken 2 days or less after the event. Now, the first day that FEMA logged pictures into their system was on the 13th, so it was no later than the 13th. But it looks like somebody had a wheelbarrow full of stuff from the landfill and just dumped it in piles.
Yep. It does.
And years later, here we have the same thing happening. You know, figure 29, and more dirt.
Yeah.
That's why I named this one series of, you know, looking at the dust and what happens to it as the dirt series.
Yeah.
And the figures 30, 31, 32, you see the dirt trucks coming in, and they see dirt trucks going out.
Yeah, they bring dirt in and they take dirt out. That was really amazing. And so what's your theory behind that? Why would they do that? Why would they bring dirt in and then are they scooping up whatever did they lay the dirt out and then scoop it back up because it took contaminants out with it? Is that what that was?
It would sure seem like it. Like, you know, back to that original one in front of the WFC building.
Yeah.
Why is there dirt there?
I don't know. That's really odd. I always thought that was odd I was reading that, and I was like, okay, dirt in, dirt out. That doesn't make any sense. Should be dirt in and rubble out or something.
And I was there a year ago, standing there looking. Here's this huge, beautiful new dirt pile.
Yeah. And they did that in front of the Pentagon, by the way. That's what they did, is they brought in loads and loads and loads and loads of dirt.
And the same fuming was going on there. As I call it fuming, you know, the stuff coming up, rising up.
Right.
And figure 33 right below there is a new favorite of mine.
Yes.
Nice mud pie. How is a building?
Are you still there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there you are. Okay, go ahead. Lost you for a second.
Oh. How can a building turn into a mud pie?
I've really never heard of one doing that, honestly, Dr. Judy.
Yeah, it's in my latest thing for NIST. I said, that needs some explaining. This is for the Building 7.
Right.
Report, you know, this figure needs some explaining,
yeah,
as Ricky Ricardo would say.
Yeah, I need some explaining to do on that one, yeah. That's right. Well, as long as you mentioned it, what was the deal with Building 7? Of course, what they told everyone was that it was just because of the explosions of the other two buildings that caused that one to explode as well.
It had a sympathy,
Yeah, it had sympathy pains. Was that it?
Yeah.
All right, so getting back to the floor of the Bankers Trust building. Okay, they've replaced the floors and they keep disintegrating. Is this the backlash of the energy that was used to create this mess?
We'll not make any assumptions, but we'll say whatever was going on seems to be continuing.
Okay.
And they probably hadn't anticipated that.
That's what I'm thinking. It was like an experiment.
Oops.
Yeah. So that being said, is there any anomalies like that, like, say, in the Pentagon that you're aware of? Have they done any repairs to that, and the repairs, you know, they're still ongoing because they can't get it repaired? I mean, that would seem like if this is ongoing, this destruction, if you will, of the event itself, we never know if it's even going to end, in a sense.
Yeah. And when I was starting to research on this, one of the things that really grabbed my attention in looking at this method is, first of all, I listed all of these various characteristics, and then I happened upon the Hutchison effect. And thought, oh my gosh, is this like a one-to-one correlation? And one of the things that someone wrote up about the Hutchison effect is that if there's a large amount of mass over a certain critical amount, the process is not self-quenching. That will continue on.
Okay, so explain that to people. What does that mean?
Let's say when you start a fire, You know, in your fireplace, or whatever, when it burns up all of the fuel, it goes out.
Okay.
But how about if you have another kind of process that gets energy from somewhere and it just snowballs and keeps going?
Okay.
If it pulls it out of, you know, space or something like that.
Right.
So a different kind of energy.
Right, because we're getting into the physics and the mechanics of things that are not normally used, or that we've not seen, at least in our lifetimes, as far as this type of energy and this technology that we're aware of being used. That's pretty interesting. Real quick, we have a whole bunch of questions that we didn't get to, and we've only got a couple of minutes left. We'll have to take a break, and then when we come back, we'll get to the rest of some of these questions, but maybe a quick one. We've got like 2 minutes, I think. What's the World Trade Center 7, the field picture, about?
Which picture?
The World WTC 7 field picture about. Field J picture about. I guess what we'll need to do, PJ, have you look? You know which one they're talking about?
I know which one he's talking about. That's why I've started putting the names on them.
Okay, good.
Want me to do it now or when we get back?
How much time do we got? We've got 1 minute. Do you have time in 1 minute to explain that?
I've got to find the picture first. I think it's in the lather section. Yeah, it's in the lather section, and it's like figure 13. What's so bizarre is that everything's coming out of one side of the building.
Okay. That's right. That is pretty bizarre.
And it has an interesting pattern about it, and the same with figure 14.
Okay.
Like there might be some kind of field causing it to do that.
Okay. Now, we do have to go for a short break in between the hours for all of our affiliates. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, Dr. Wood, if you have some more you want to say about that, answering the rest of the questions, we will, but we'll get to the rest of the questions when we come back after the break. So don't go away. We'll be right back with more of Journeys with Rebecca and Dr. Judy Wood. Stay with us. The times we live in now allow for the professional psychic to no longer be hidden. People from all walks of life, government officials, stars of screen and TV, CEOs to the homemaker and construction worker, have sought the insights of truly gifted psychics. You know, my colleagues at American Association of Professional Psychics have the most top-notch psychics available. Their gifts span a huge range from mediumship, channeling, clairvoyance, tarot, numerology, astrology, and so much more. You know, each of us as certified psychics must pass strict testing in honor and uphold the founding principles. All this information and so much more can be found, though, on their website. That's CertifiedPsychics.com. Or just call them at 800-717-7887. Hi, welcome back. We took a short break just for tonight because Dr. Judy Wood is with us, and we have just a ton of questions waiting to be answered here tonight in our chat box and that kind of thing. So, Dr. Judy, welcome back, by the way. I'm losing my train of thought. I'm trying to read and talk at the same time. I apologize. I'm not always good at multitasking.
I'm not. I'm definitely not.
Let's see. This question is, in my chat box, I do want to remind people to please go to journeyswithrebecca.com. On the right-hand side of the website is listener chat. There's a lot of people in there, lots of great information. CB is in there, and I guess CB has been assisting Dr. Wood a bit and is sharing a lot of really good information with people in the chat box as well. So this is really good. So let's see. Let me get back to some of the questions. Dr. Wood, did the New York City mayor make a comment about the trucking out of debris? Was it really potting soil or soil?
The morning after 9/11, on the 12th, he was on a radio show where he was bragging about 120 dump trucks going in and out of the city last night. He was, bragging about it. He said it was full of debris, but if you the night of 9/11, it's been less than 24 hours. Why would you be hauling out 120 dump truck loads of debris? Don't you look for the survivors first before you disturb what's piled up on top of them? I think it was a cover for hauling in dirt.
Okay, I do too. Also, there's somebody in here that's also saying, I think it's Bruce, saying that, first of all, they love Dr. Wood. Unfortunately, she has to repeat herself on all these shows. So we need to get past the basics. I'm not quite sure how to get past some of the basics here. For some of the people that aren't aware of Dr. Judy's work, we kind of wanted to lay some groundwork here for tonight, Bruce. And I think probably what we need is to have a little bit of the background, and then we're going to go into some of the ideas. I think Dr. Judy and I talked about it before we went on the air tonight. We've had a couple conversations throughout the day that we're going to get into what this energy is, what it can and cannot do, and, of course, certainly with listening about the Bankers Trust building, obviously the technology certainly isn't perfected. there's certainly some fallout that we're, you know, hereby experiencing because they can't seem to correct some of the issues of using this technology like they did. And so I'm not really sure what else that I can say about that. If you've got some ideas, I'd be happy to hear them from anybody out there in the audience that has some specific questions that you might want Dr. Judy to go into tonight. Please, by all means, I support you in that, and I'm sure Dr. Judy does as well. So that being said, we probably need to get back to some other questions, and I've really got to catch up on all this because there's been a ton of them. I really can't even keep up with them. There's just a lot of people. I've got them in my email. I've got them in the chat box. The monitors in there are sending me questions as well. And
well, I'm sure they're glad that you're holding such a show on such a topic.
Well, and I'm extraordinarily glad. I'm one for that. Whatever is going on out there, we need to know what it is. We need to know what the truth is. And I've said this for many years, is that our government officials and the people with the powers that be don't give credit enough to the human race that we are intelligent beings. If they treated us like such as intelligent beings and treated us with the full scope of knowledge, we'd probably all be better off, in my opinion. But that's just my opinion. And you know what they say about opinions.
It's interesting that someone earlier today, brought to my mind that more and more weird stuff that happens, it'll start looking more normal.
Yes.
And we're going to have to become very observant to see it. As like with this situation, looking at what happened at the WTC complex, if you look carefully, it becomes very obvious, very clear. But if you do a quick glance, you might not see it, and it's going to become more and more subtle. So it's important for us to develop the ability to see what is before us and to choose.
Well,
like, for example, the Minnesota Bridge.
Oh, yes. I'm glad you brought that up. Please.
Did anyone think it was kind of weird that the cars stayed on the bridge and rode the bridge down? The bridge went down horizontally? That all the supports gave way at the exact same moment?
Yeah. And again, another, I guess, an experiment by whomever, right?
There's things like that should not look normal to us.
Well, and then I never heard anything more. I mean, it was in the news for, a few days, and then after that you didn't hear anything else about it. It's just like it goes away. You're like, what? Why? Why are you doing that? Why? It's like it's exposed, and then you hear nothing about it.
Maybe so the next one will seem normal.
Well, it's desensitizing, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, here's a question that it's a good question, I think. Are you familiar with HARP?
I've heard the term, and I've heard people mention what they think it's about, and what I've tried to do is focus on the evidence I actually see.
Okay.
Because I don't know exactly what they do there. I know, third-hand information or second-hand information about what somebody says goes on there.
Okay.
But it's so easy to want to jump to an answer or the answer with a label on it, a name, and the danger with that is it's like a multiple-choice test where you forget to put all the choices as an option.
Right. Well,
how would you know that?
And they were just asking if maybe there was some kind of correlation between that and the low frequency method of breaking down metal. That was why they were asking whether or not you knew about HARP and if there was any correlation. So really, I thought it was a pretty good question. So if you're not familiar with HARP, and that's good. I mean, it's neither here nor there.
Well, I'm familiar with it, but I'm just leaving out, named things, like why I call it fuzzy blobs and so forth, to just break it down to what exactly happened here instead of names for, different pigeonholes to put it into.
Right. Well,
it's a hard thing to do. They say wipe the slate clean and just see what exactly is going on.
Well,
and then you see it very clearly and can define exactly what it's capable of. And once you see what it's capable of,
right.
My gosh. what else can we use it for that's good?
Well, yeah. So let's turn it around a little bit. What could it be used for in the positive? We already have seen the destruction it can cause.
Well, we can provide energy to the entire planet.
And how would you do that?
There's a lot of methods that are out there now, but I'm afraid they're going to be getting outlawed because, you know, he controls the energy, controls the people.
Right. I made that opening statement. I got that right from your website.
And that is the difficulty. But one thing every one of your listeners, I think, can grasp is and appreciate is seeing what all happened on 9/11 was something horrendous.
It was beyond horrendous, yes. I agree.
I mean, the technology that was used is just unbelievable. So why can't we use that for good things?
Well, I think it's like anything. It's a choice, right, Dr. Judy? I mean, we can choose to be kind and considerate to somebody, or we can choose to be rude and aggressive to them. It's a choice. It's a conscious choice.
And the more that everyone knows this kind of energy is available, the more likely it'll be that we will have it.
So speaking of this energy, speaking of this technology, where does this technology come from? What do you think, or where do you think this technology comes from? I mean, who's the inventor, or is there such a thing? Is it a joint venture?
I honestly don't know the original inventor. I think it's, you know, at least goes back as far as Tesla. It might, you know, I'm sure there's other events that go on before then. But, you know, Tesla for sure. And if you go to the bottom of my FAQ page, the frequently asked questions, there's some videos there. We don't need to go there now, but there's some videos there, kind of a little short course in Tesla and what Tesla was about. And one thing I find pretty strange is that, you know, Tesla is who brought us alternating current. And I never saw the name Tesla in my physics book in high school or college.
Isn't that interesting? He's always, by the way, been that person there. What little I've learned about him, he's an enigma to me. I would have really liked to have found out a lot more about Tesla than what's currently available.
And we have another Tesla, sort of his spiritual grandson, in a way,
mm-hmm.
who has replicated many of the same things. And I think he's respected about as much as Tesla was.
Well,
some people greatly appreciate his work, and others try to hide it
or demonize it in that term because they don't. Because he really did have some really good ideas.
Yes, and you know, free energy.
Yeah.
Well, then you can't have control of people. That's a big deal.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? And somebody's asking just for your thoughts. You're free to answer these questions or not. You never put you on the spot here, okay? They want to know who they are that's controlling this technology. Is it the government, defense industrial complex, corporations, Russia, just whatever? You don't have to answer it if you're not comfortable.
Oh, I don't know, and I don't get too concerned with that.
Okay, good.
You know, they, it's, you know, that takes care of it.
There'll always be a they, isn't there?
Right.
So this other person is asking, could free energy, such as the one that we're talking about, this technology, could it lead to something even more stupendous, which some people think could lead to time travel?
Oh, yes. And definitely, for sure. There's some strange anomalies I also noticed in the images. That, you know, first, if you asked me that a year ago or two years ago, I would have said, man, is that wacky. But some of the stuff in here has really gotten, you know, opened my eyes. And seeing is believing. You know, before I started down this road, I didn't hear of the term directed energy weapons. I didn't, you know, I wasn't aware of any of this stuff.
Yeah, I haven't either.
Looking at the data told me that this exists. And the same thing with, you know, time travel and other things. When, if you can go to, let's see, you go to T, it's just right above T, picture 163. That is a very interesting picture.
Oh, 163. Okay, I think I'm too far down. Just a second. Oh, there it is. Oh, yeah.
Look at the wall on the right-hand side. We're looking east, you know, at the Winter Garden through to the other side. This is just before Building 7 goes poof. And we have on the left WFC3, and on the right is WFC2. Look at that wall of WFC2.
It looks very odd.
Like a fish tank.
Yeah, like how I was viewing it was like watery. It looked watery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like fuzzy, hazy, watery. Like you'd look at something that was watery. Interesting.
I've seen several pictures that look like this.
Hmm. Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, something is getting warped there.
Yeah, like a distortion, like time-space warp thing.
Yep.
Absolutely. Well, and then I was looking at some of the other pictures that you had, which was, let's see, I'll go back up to your indexing thing. It was the one silly string.
Oh, yeah. That's a fun one.
Yeah, the silly string, because that's
G.
G, silly string and donuts, you called it.
Yep.
And then, see, in the first one, in figure 36, it shows the Tesla coil.
Yep, big Tesla coil, and you can see these, you know, whatever you call it, arcs.
Right.
Those zap things, you know.
Right. Yeah, interesting. And then 37. Like, explain 37. That's very bizarre.
I believe that's a military exercise. I'm guessing those are drones that they're taking down.
Ah, okay.
But where they're projectiles, I've clicked these pictures, like, not knowing what anything was. You can see why I call this silly string.
Right, it does. Generically. Yeah.
And I found these other pictures. Well, that looks the same. You know, what's in common? Again, doing the blank slate thinking. And if you launch something through the air and it's sputtering out smoke, it's going to make a smooth, you know, thing to the air. If it's a projectile with kinetic energy.
Wow.
But if it's not just kinetic energy, some other type of energy, it'll leave this pattern.
Right. Just really bizarre. And I remember the one that you have there, number 42, figure 42. I remember looking at that thinking, gosh, that looks like something that comes out of fireworks.
You know, that little squiggly thing comes
down.
Yeah. One above and below.
Yeah, I can see, like, after going in here and doing some research on your site, you know, all the thoughts that I'd had while I was watching the initial, you know, few days of all of this, all these thoughts that I'd had, I started remembering, thinking, oh, I remember looking at that and thinking, and I remember looking at that thinking, and, you know, I just thought there was so many things. And the other one, maybe you can help me to figure out which ones they are. They're the ones where there's fire burning, but the paper isn't burning.
Ah. Yeah, I'm going to go up to the top to see if I can find the fire one. Oh, it's paper. Maybe it's paper. Q? Yeah, let's go to Q.
Okay, Q, paper. Look at all the fires, and the cars, like, especially in figure 117, it's very predominant.
Oh,
the cars
that was great. We have to enjoy this, you know, laugh it up. The paper underneath the front of the car is not burning.
No, but the car is.
Yeah.
That's.
Well, it looks like it's burning.
It does. It looks like it's burning. I think that's probably the most important thing, because then you go to figure 119, and here's this fireman walking through the quote-unquote fire.
Mm-hmm.
He's walking right through it. I mean, there's clear spots around him, but he's walking right through the fire.
Isn't he worried about his pant legs catching on fire?
Apparently not. Has anyone got any analysis from the dust in the buildings yet? Do you know?
None that I know is through analysis.
Okay, because somebody's asking about that, and so I wanted to share that question with you real quick while we were doing that.
It would be interesting, but any, you know, dust that was collected, how do you know where it came from and some chain of custody?
Right.
Because the data from, in evidence from the site is just so tainted.
Mm.
And so messy. Even the, there's an overhead image that went through, passed through who knows how many different hands. It would start out with a USGS, a NASA image, and then satellite image, and then from there it got processed through some computer at USGS, and then went through some other office somewhere else, and it came out with a supposed thermal map of Ground Zero. And I've got a photograph, or several photographs, taken, you know, within a day or so of this image that's supposed to show the hottest place in Ground Zero is right here, and then right here is a puddle of water and a guy standing in a puddle of water.
Right.
So you kind of wonder what, you know, what images you're given. And I don't bank everything on just one photo. It's not like a set number of photos. Is that you see something from the left, from the right, above and below, and you know, you feel like you're there and can see it. And it becomes kind of clear. That's what was so helpful about just looking at particular phenomena. Like, again, this weird page, like the fire walker, but also the, what I call the pathetic mail truck. It's just lost all its support. What ate it up?
I know. Just these are all those questions about the energy itself and what was being used, because it really... When you break it down like you broke it down, the pieces to this puzzle just do not fit, folks, not at all. And that being said, Dr. Judy, we're going to take a short break. I'm going to come back with some more questions and get caught up on that. So for the rest of you, do not go away. We'll be right back with more of Dr. Judy right here on Journeys with Rebecca. All right, welcome back. We are here with Dr. Judy. And we are talking about 9/11. And Dr. Judy, I do have a really great question here for you. This one was from somebody in my chat box. Bruce said, energy to poof the towers, was it transferred from Hurricane Erin? We haven't talked about that aspect, which was something that was pretty important, because that kind of got faded into the background when the WTCs went poof.
Before the towers went poof.
Yeah.
Nobody really remembers it that day, and I have some weather images, like screenshots of the TV showing the morning weather that day.
Right.
At 7 o'clock in the morning. And you know, they show that part of the ocean, but they don't show this pinwheel that should be out there.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting myself. Where is that on your website? So people.
It's near the bottom. Let's see. It's V for weather.
Okay.
And how I came to this is figure 175. It shows this satellite image of the plume. And I wanted to study the plume better. And, gee, that was kind of weird, because you got black stuff that's going west over the Hudson and the white stuff that's going south and up. How come it's, you know, segregated like that? And it goes in two different directions, or why isn't the wind blowing one direction? It seemed like something different was going on. And I wanted to get a better look at it, and so I went looking for weather satellite images. And figure 176 is what I found. Like, oh, my gosh. It's a hurricane right outside of New York, on New York City on 9/11. If you look real carefully, actually you can see the plume of stuff coming up from Ground Zero.
And I'm loading up the bigger image right now. Yep, there it is. Now,
what was interesting is it got larger as it approached New York City, kind of like how a figure skater, when they slow down, they put their arms out.
Right.
So they distribute their mass over a wider area, and they spin slower. And that appears to be what Hurricane Erin did. So by doing that, and stretching out larger, the rain bands actually came in on Long Island. They had rain on Long Island.
Okay.
And so the you know, that those outer bands were like the closest to New York City that morning. And it's not just the outer bands that are important. The field effects of a hurricane extend out well beyond where where you see this cloud cover.
Right.
Like, you know, we know when a storm is coming, especially people who with arthritis.
Exactly.
They feel it.
Yes.
What are they feeling? Field effects.
Yeah, that's right.
And what was also interesting is, you know, figure 179, the National Center, it shows...
Oh, we lost you again. Dr. Judy? You there?
You there?
There
yeah.
You are. Okay.
I must have bumped something. That the hurricane, you know, kind of stalled out there. You know, it was slowly moving, but, you know, basically coming to a stop. In reverse direction, heading back out of town. And for 24 hours, the wind speed stayed constant. And the air pressure inside the hurricane stayed constant for almost 24 hours. And it really didn't move much. And then it turns around and heads out of town like it showed up for work. You can see in figure 182 the path of it. For 4 days, it's aiming straight to New York City, and the morning of 9/11, it's making that U-turn and heading out of town.
What's your take on that?
It's mighty weird that we didn't hear about it beforehand, because it's, you know, several days in advance notice, and it's not on the morning weather report. You know, they hope nobody will notice.
Well, you know, isn't that interesting? Because I was thinking to myself before I... You know, I was looking at this, and I was like, gosh, I don't remember them talking about a hurricane. Maybe I just forgot about it. You know, maybe I just forgot that this hurricane, because the event took place, and I just forgot about it. But I don't remember hearing about it either.
I can speculate on why I think nobody heard about it.
I'd love to hear.
Well, if they had... Would people be watching their TV sets the morning of 9/11, or would they be evacuating?
They'd be evacuating.
Because you have this hurricane that comes out there and kind of stalls out. How do they know for sure that thing is going to sit there for days or whatever? And if it does, you know the elevation of southern Manhattan?
No,
I
haven't.
20 feet or so?
Wow.
Maybe more, it's less than that for the airport that's even closer, for JFK Airport. You're going to have major flooding from storm surges.
Right, from the wind and from, yeah, exactly. We know
and
what that's
like. Just the hurricane sitting there.
Right.
So, yeah, people better start evacuating and heading out of town. And why wouldn't they tell people that? Unless they knew absolutely for sure there was nothing to worry about, because they knew the exact timing of when that hurricane was going to put it in reverse and head out of town.
Real quick, I don't mean to interrupt you, because I'm going to get back to this thought. Somebody said that they tuned in late, but they said the videos on your site have been removed. So we want to make that announcement, so that if you have a website.
Which videos?
I don't know. She's not explaining which ones it is, but she's saying the videos on your site have been removed. And I do know, by the way, too, is that there's a lot of really strange stuff going on with people's internet. Some sites work some days, sometimes they don't, et cetera, and so forth. So for that listener, whoever's listening, if you could send me an email to mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com with the videos that have been removed, I will pass them on to Dr. Judy, and we'll go from there. And I thank you for that.
Yeah,
so,
I appreciate
yeah.
That.
Yeah, we need to hear that. We need to know what's going on. So kind of, you know, late breaking news there. So as we're looking at this hurricane, the other thing was the weirdness, or the strangeness, if you will, of the look of the eye. The eye of that hurricane.
Yeah, I don't know what to think of that, except it doesn't look right. Yeah.
It's like got...
It doesn't look normal.
No, it's got like it looks like a pile. Yes! That's what I was going to say. It's like strings or worms or something on the inside. I've never seen one that looked like that.
And it looks like a pentagon shape around it, a pentagon with worms in it.
Ah, interesting.
It does not look natural.
It is not natural, I wouldn't think. Oh, it says that page with the pictures of the burnt cars down at the bottom, she said those videos have been removed. Thank you. She's made a note of that, and I'll make sure that I get that to her at the end of the show, Dawn. Thank you very much. Okay. Next thing is we have another question. Said, let me get it back up here. I lost it. There's so many of them going on.
But what this tells me is they knew, you know, the powers that be would know whoever they are. It might be a different group of they. That this hurricane was nothing to worry about because they knew it was going to make this 110-degree turn and be gone. And so they, you know, just in the nick of time before there's a storm surge problem. But also, you know, it kind of shows, you know, weather control, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, and I've had people on actually that's talked to me about, you know, weather, what they call weather warfare. And since being made aware of that, see, that's the other thing is, just like your statement that you made earlier, is that it's to look at things differently, not to become desensitized to it. I look at weather patterns now totally different than I did even a few years ago. So I start watching it, and because I am an intuitive, I can also sense whether or not something feels right to me or not.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it feels normal, a normal storm, or if it doesn't feel normal, if it's manufactured. And you can really tell the difference once you start tuning in to different weather patterns and whether or not they feel like they're real or manufactured. And we've seen a lot of storms this year, especially, that have been controlled. It's like having somebody that's got a touch screen on their computer and they're going, oh, I think I want it to go over here. And they're
playing with their toys.
Yes, they're playing with toys. And it's unfortunately... kind of the way of things, but I did want to tell people is to not let that become desensitized to you. Really start becoming aware, just like Dr. Judy is here explaining to us.
But it also isn't something that we're just saying, believe me, you know, they have weather control, so just trust me, just, you know, hook, line, and sinker. No, I'm giving you tools which you can use to figure out what you want to think about it. And how I think about it is they were comfortable with this hurricane stalled out outside of New York City for X number of hours as though they knew it wasn't going to be a problem because they knew when it was going to move out of town. But also, why didn't the, you know, network weather stations report this hurricane?
Exactly. I mean, that's just bizarre right there in and of itself. Yeah. The Weather Channel, that's their job. Yeah. Isn't that their job, is to report the weather channels?
And how much work is it for them to stick that icon, you know, pinwheel of a hurricane on their weather map in the morning?
Gee, I don't know. I didn't think it was too hard because they don't have any trouble with the rest of them that they put up, Dr. Judy.
Right.
Seriously. We have another question that's weather-related here. Could a tornado be the effect of a time vortex in progress, like in general statement? And I'm not sure what they're looking at as far as the... Yeah.
I've noticed that we have lightning bolts, we have tornadoes, we have hurricanes. They act at a different rate. Lightning bolts zing really fast. Tornadoes don't move quite as fast. You can almost get out of their way. Hurricanes, you can definitely get out of their way. And if you look at section W on this page, there's I call it a Tesla tornado, that first picture.
Mm-hmm.
You can see there's like a plate up above of clouds, and then you have the ground. You have a potential between the two, and it arcs across them.
Right.
And the hurricane is very similar. You see this anatomy of a hurricane. You have that middle part spinning around, and then the big pie plate on top spinning around. And that is the structure of a Tesla coil.
It is, too.
So a hurricane is like, you know, a huge Tesla coil. And that person asked about where the you know, power to do whatever came from. It didn't come from the hurricane. The hurricane is part of it. The hurricane just creates this field in which this magic happens.
Interesting. I like
that. You know, one of the pieces of magic that we've all seen but just don't really recognize because we're told a different answer is levitation.
Right. You have some pictures on your website about that.
Yeah, at the top of the Hutchinson section, I believe. See if I can get to it. That's section S. Figure 129 is a car that is placed on the fence. It's sitting on the fence.
Yeah, and the fence is perfectly well.
And it didn't tumble there. It's not scratched up.
Mm-mm. No.
It was gently set down.
Somebody wants you to explain the Hutchinson effect in a kind of a short way, if you can.
How I think of it is you get different types of energy fields and interfere them. And we've all, like, you're familiar with magnets.
Right.
And how about, you know, electric current? Imagine, you know, before that little lightning bolt goes from the top of the cloud to the ground, there's a potential in there. How about if you intersect that with the magnetic field and then some other type of energy,
right.
Radio frequency energy? Weird things happen.
Weird things happen. Very, very odd. Very odd. All right, so that being said, we've come to kind of figure out a lot of what's going on. You got some really great pictures, by the way, of the Hutchinson effect. Tons and tons of really great pictures and really good explanations there. When we look at this particular technology, Dr. Wood, how would you think that we could use this to create free energy, which, by the way, if I remember right, I believe that Tesla, that was one of his things, is that he wanted to create an energetic system that was free.
Mm-hmm. Free to the world.
Free to the world. And how would we do that? Obviously, we've seen the negative effects, and then we've also seen some unseen effects from this particular technology. I'm sure they've changed it, you know, and using it and certainly tweaking it, if you will, for this mass destruction. But in the positive sense, as you look at this technology, how can it be transferred or transformed so that we could use this in a positive way without doing any damage? Would you have any ideas on that?
If the people know about free energy and stand behind it, you know how right now there's this technique by the powers that be, whoever they are, of divide and conquer.
Right.
And control. That wouldn't work.
Right.
It wouldn't work anymore, and you know, there would be no reasons for having wars and fighting and killing people.
Yeah, that would be, that'd be quite interesting, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be quite interesting? Wouldn't that be a utopia for us? I think that would be
very,
so
very, and it's very close nearby.
It is.
Just everyone working together, and you know, like with our economy, I was giving someone this analogy. It's like they're on the Titanic that's going down, and they're bailing as hard as they can, and they don't want to look up because they don't have time because they have to keep bailing, even though it's inevitable the thing is sinking. Meanwhile, there's this brand new hovercraft that runs on free energy sitting right next to the Titanic, but they don't want to look up because they don't have time to. They want to keep bailing.
Right.
And that's kind of where we are.
It's kind of like,
if you just look up at this other, it's kind of like a whole new world.
It is. It is. It has such great potential. Now, that being said, you've got some other things that you want to share with the audience that we talked about before you came on tonight. We're going to take one more short break, and when we come back, we're going to open that line up for you, and we're going to go from there about some of the things that you have personally done in regards to this whole 9/11 thing, you yourself. And we'll be right back, though. So for the rest of you, just stay tuned, because we'll have more of Dr. Judy Wood in just a moment.
With Rebecca.
All right, welcome back. We are here with Dr. Judy Wood, and we only have you, Dr. Judy, for about another 10 minutes. So one of the things that you told me about today, which I was just awestruck, honestly, I was, about the lawsuit. And if you feel like that you would like to talk about that, great. If not, we have some other questions that we can answer You can answer, not we. You can answer if you would prefer to go from that route forward.
Oh, well, it's just that I wanted to mention I have an ongoing QTAM case that we're working on right now. And it involves the, what do you call it, contractors for NIST. NIST came up with this report with the help of its contractors. It makes no sense. You know, the building did not undergo a gravity collapse. And the various contractors who worked on this report, it's kind of interesting their backgrounds. Major manufacturers of directed energy weapons.
Wow.
I think there's a conflict of interest there.
You think there's just a little bit?
And so I brought this up to NIST, and they said, oh, no, there's no conflict of interest in determining how the towers collapsed, because we didn't analyze how the towers collapsed.
Right.
Can you believe that? This report that says, the final report on the collapse of the World Trade Center towers, they stated, did not analyze the collapse.
So what did they analyze?
I don't know. Well, the building was still intact before anything happened.
Oh, is that it? Okay.
That's a pretty good psyop, isn't it?
And, all right, you've mentioned that term a couple of times. For the people out there that don't understand what that is, could you please briefly explain what psyops is?
Oh, I started using it in more general terms, but psyops, a psychological operation, trickery. And in a way, a presidential campaign is kind of a psyops. They promise you something. Or a TV ad is, you know, they promise you something, it turns out it's not true, or it has some strange meaning around it, but they, in the strictest sense, what happened on 9/11, we were given one set of information, and that is not at all what happened. And we were led to believe that's what happened.
And because of the shock, because of the total shock of what we were witnessing, none of us really, I mean, like I said, I had these moments while I was watching and listening, but certainly not to the degree that you did, and certainly I don't have the background that you did, but there was some things that didn't set well, but I didn't go further with it to question it any further than that.
And, you know, like a David Copperfield magic show, well, you know that you're being tricked.
Right.
That's what you paid your money for.
Right.
But we got a David Copperfield type of magic show without knowing it.
I didn't pay for it, did you?
Nope. Well, no. We're paying for it.
Well, yeah, but I didn't buy a ticket for the admission to that.
No, not knowingly.
Not knowingly. No, ma'am, did not. And that's really terrible. I mean, that's just terrible that this kind of stuff is going on. But, you know, I hope that there are people out there, Dr. Judy, like you're speaking about, that can use this energy that's being, you know, this technology that's been brought forward and use it in a positive as opposed to the negative. We do have one question here. There, somebody's wanting to know about if some of the stuff that was being presented on, you know, on the television and that kind of thing, if there was some holographs or holographic technology as well being used.
They have that capability. I didn't watch who was doing what in the control room, but very likely. In 1999, the Washington Post had an article, When Seeing is Believing. There's also another article folks could look up, Lying with Pixels. In this first article, they talked about making an image of Allah and putting it over Baghdad to scare the people in Baghdad. This was in 1999.
Ah. Well, and then the one that I was telling everyone about a few weeks on my show, Dr. Judy, was that they took it public when they had Prince Charles attend some kind of seminar or conference or something, and it was a holographic image of him. And that was right out in the open. And they said, he wasn't really in attendance. He was there audio. You know, we linked him up into the audio, but we projected a holograph. He didn't even have to leave, you know, wherever he was at.
Yeah, this type of technology is available. I can't, you know, verify what was used on that day, But I do know that Boeing 767s did not, you know, make those holes in the tower.
No. No. No.
And you see, you know, crashes where you get an airplane, you know, sticking in a building. The airplane kind of gets torn up and never really hardly gets through the wall.
Well, it seems like to me hitting a brick wall with an airplane kind of sort of thing is not going to be really conducive to the airplane.
There's one, you know, on takeoff or landing, its wheel had caught some power lines and just destroyed the airplane.
Right. Right. Exactly. No, you know, there's nothing left. There's just too many discrepancies, and, you know, that's all that disinformation that goes out there. So I think what people really need to do, and I, you know, I tell people this all the time, is to really look at what you're watching and hearing on television, because, you know, it may not be believing in this case.
Right, and we each have to do that for ourselves and not look up to anyone to tell us how to think,
right,
or what to think. That's why I like to provide all of these images, because I want to empower each and every one of you to be able to see it for yourself. Because how did we get in this position? By buying everything hook, line, and sinker. We just got led right off the path.
By being complacent,
mm-hmm,
by being sheeple, by allowing ourselves to be led around, by not owning our own selves and our truth. We've been spoon-fed. We were kind of all kind of codependent in that case, I guess. In that sense, I mean, you know, well, let somebody else take care of it, which is one of the reasons why you're doing what you're doing with the case here, is you're saying, I've got to do something about it. I'm just in awe that you would stand up and do something like this, Dr. Judy. I'm so appreciative of the information you brought forward tonight.
Well, thank you so much.
And the one thing that I want you to do, though, is to let everyone know, again, your websites, any other information that you would like to share with the audience before we leave here tonight, because you have just been awesome. We've had a ton of people that ask, please, to have you back on. And I will get with you, and we will have you back on again, and we'll talk some more about this and some other things if you're interested in coming back again.
Oh, great.
Cool.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. So if you will, just share with everyone your website and any other way you would like for them to get a hold of you, or email you if you would like, or whatever.
It's drjudywood.com, and there's also you can see the legal documents that have been posted. And on those pages is an entry form where you can send email to me, if that's easy, and as well as the whistleblower page for anyone who would like to come forward. You can send it with or without your identification or contact information. And just to speak up, because we need to.
Everyone does.
If we live in fear, we always live in fear.
That's right. And I don't think this is what this is about anymore, because you certainly went forward with what you're doing in your life, Dr. Judy, and for that I commend you for honoring, you know, that part of yourself. We should all take and lead, go by your example and lead ourselves into our own fearless self, right? I love it. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And I have people in the chat box saying, thank you, Dr. Judy. Thank you, Dr. Judy. There's a ton of people thanking you for coming on the show.
Well, thank you, each one of you, because this is why I do it. Everyone needs to be empowered.
I agree. I so agree. Well, Dr. Judy, thank you so much again for being on. We will have you back on. I will be in contact. We'll be posting that to my website for all of you to go back and check, and I'm sure Dr. Judy will put it on hers as well. And for the rest of you, though, stay tuned. I've got a little bit more. Dr. Judy, we're going to let you go now. And you have yourself a great night. We'll be talking very soon. Thank you again.
Thank you so much.
All right, you guys, we'll be right back.
Listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
All right. What an awesome, awesome show. My thanks again to Dr. Judy Wood. Her website, again, is drjudywood.com. You can find that link on the front of my website. And that's journeyswithrebecca.com. Thanks to all the sponsors, Fate Magazine, that's fatemag.com, also to certifiedpsychics.com and perfectlyorganic.net. Stuart Swerdlow for Dream Interpretations is dream@journeyswithrebecca.com. And for questions for Nancy Ogren and I, it's mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. Next week's guest, The Roswell Legacy, the untold story of the first military officer at the 1947 crash site, Jesse Marcel Jr. and Linda Marcel, authors. Nancy will also be joining us next week. Following that is Stuart Swerdlow on the State of the World. We're also going to have Dr. Bill Deagle on, a witness for Project Camelot, and then Cliff High from Half Past Human, and so many more. We're also going to have Dr. Judy back on, so be sure to check out the website. Coming up at 11 p.m. on Talk Radio X is Tyler Hollywood with Bad Side Live. So we will see you back here next week from 8 to 10 p.m. Central Time. You are the best audience ever. I thank you for your support and tuning into the show. So until we meet again, where will your life's journey lead you? Many blessings and good night.